What's our theme for today? On the screen here is going to come what our theme is. It is this: look up and remember who God is. Let's say it together. Look up and remember who God is. I'm feeling it's hot in here this morning. I've taken my... If it's getting too hot, Paul at the back there will open that door a little bit. Is it hot there, Paul? Oh, your mum's there. She'd be like, yeah, she's never hot. You are allowed to take your jumpers off. Strip down as much as you feel is reasonable. I'm not going to judge, but you know. Let's say this again. It's too quiet. It's too English. Louder. Look up and remember who God is. One more time. Look up and remember who God is. That's our theme for today. It's going to run through the different items we've got. First item is a game, a short one, quick one. Jack, I want you to be the first volunteer. Come up. You don't have a choice. Okay, so sometimes we lose the... I was going to use the word perspective. What I mean, you don't see properly. You're looking at it in the wrong way. So put those glasses on. Yeah, now I want you to stand about there, right? And I want you to catch this ball, all right? Without... Ready? Can you do it? Fantastic. Okay, well done. Give us your glasses. Take a seat. Another volunteer. Come on. Right, Dougie. Yes. Glasses on. Stand where Jack was. Smaller. Thank you, Corinne. Our health and safety expert. Good job, we've got people like that when I'm around. Catch. Oh, you know as well, well done. Good. One more volunteer. Chloe, put her hand up first. Chloe, this is tricky. Stand where your brother was, put them on. Here we go. They're very fetching, Chloe. You should try them for school tomorrow. Ready? Oh, you did it. Well done. Very good. You can come afterwards and try it yourself. Let me just clear up. I was fascinated about 2 weeks ago. I went to the Ark. Have you seen that? In town? And the Ark in town is where there's flooding and then it does look like an Ark. It's that place. I went for the first time and I saw people climbing up the rock face. I don't know why that's a hobby, but it is. And there was a woman there and she was standing looking at the rock face. And she wasn't looking up at all. She was just looking directly at it. And I thought, what's she doing? And what I noticed she had was special glasses with a prism on it that allowed you to look up while still looking forwards. Never seen it before. It's a bit like these glasses here. So you're clambering up bit by bit. Not that I would ever do this. And then you can see where the next step is by looking up, but you're just still looking forwards. Fascinating, I thought. So, I went on Amazon the other day, and I looked at the cost of one of these types of glasses, and I thought, well, I ain't buying that. It's far too expensive. But I found something else. And here is a pair of them. Again, I've never seen these before. But they allow you to look up when you're lying down. Next picture. Here's the advert. It So if you have a tendency to lie on the sofa in the afternoon after your roast lunch, I've got something for you. You can watch TV at the same time. It helps you to look up. So I'm going to pass these around. Marcus, have a look, and then you can pass it round. And it'll just go round, and if you want to try it, you have a look. Looking up glasses. You can be in hospital, like Jess is, or has been. And I hope she came out on Saturday. But you're in bed, you're lying down, but you've got to look up. What about the character and nature of who God is, even though you're in hospital? Even though you're having to lie on the sofa because you're 93 years old and you've had too much lunch and you knew you weren't meant to have chocolate and you have. Look up. Fascinating. I hope you learned something today. I'm going to tell you a story. This is from the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament. And it's a story about somebody called Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 to 6. Elijah was a prophet. That's somebody who hears from God and then is meant to do it, even when it's a scary thing. And Elijah in our story is in big trouble. And I'm going to tell you the story from the viewpoint of the boy in the story. A young lad. He doesn't have a name, so I'm going to call him Nathan. And I'm going to pretend that I am Nathan, and I'm going to tell you the story from his viewpoint. At the table where Nathan's having his meal, next to him is his mum, and the other side is the prophet Elijah. And Nathan says, "I'm loving my dinner this evening. The bread is so tasty." The thing is, you see, me and my mum were starving to death. We were almost at the end. We just had enough oil and flour left for one last meal. That's all. And so my mum went out and she got the sticks for the fire to bake this bread, our last one. But when she was out there looking for sticks, she bumped into Elijah, this prophet that's sitting with us now having some food. And Elijah said to my mum, "God's got a plan for you. And he wants to help you. But you've got to trust him. You've got to look up. And what you need to do is that you need to bake me, the prophet Elijah, you've got to bake me some bread. With what's left, your last bits of oil and flour. And if you do that and bring it back to me, God is going to provide for you. And every time you need some flour, there'll be the flour. That's not going to run out. And that oil, glug, 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 is going to just keep coming out. For the whole time this drought that's causing this starvation is going on." My mum said, "I'm going to trust God. I haven't got much choice, but I'm going to trust him." And she did. And she baked the bread and she gave it to Elijah. And here we are. And we've been having proper food for weeks now. It's fantastic. And do you know what? Elijah's got another fantastic story. Because he's told us that the drought is because of our king, King Ahaz. And Ahaz is so bad and wicked and evil that God's told him, the king, that there's going to be a drought until he changes his ways. And Elijah had to tell him that message. And when Elijah was brave enough to tell the message to the king, God said to him, "Now scarper, run away. Go and hide in a ravine or a valley. that I've got for you. And there, I want you to look up, Elijah, because I'm going to provide for you in a way you'd never think of. You'd never imagine. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send ravens with food pieces, and they're going to provide them for you. Just remember, look up. And that's what God did for him. And then the drought got so bad that there was no more water in the ravine, in the valley. And so then God gave him his next instruction. Instruction at a time. Bit at a time. And he did it and he followed it. And God blessed him and provided. And look at us. We've got food now. I'm alive. It's amazing what God can do when we look up and trust him. Story of Elijah. That's, if you want to look it up again, 1 Kings 17, verses 2 to, verse 17, 2 to 6. So Paul, as we've heard, is under house arrest. I'm trying to work out whether I can see this better with glasses on or off. He's under house arrest. He's not in the situation he wants to be in. But he begins his letter with some amazing words. He says this, "How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love." Wow. To be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us. That's a big word, adopt us into what? Into his family. He wanted us to enter into his celebration of lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son, Jesus Christ. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, and we're going to celebrate that at Holy Communion in a few minutes, his blood poured out for us, we are a free people. Free of penalties and punishments because of our misdeeds. And we're not just about free. We are completely, totally, utterly, absolutely free. In Christ, we find out who we are and what we're living for. It's in Christ that once you heard the truth and believed, you found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. He starts off his message to these people in this letter by going, isn't it fantastic? As we look up, we see who God is, and it changes his perspective on life, on what you're going through, what you're experiencing. In his next letter, which comes next in the Bible, he writes to the church in Philippi. And he says to them, life is really difficult. It's not easy being chained up to a soldier. Because what would happen is, by the leg, you'd be chained up or tied up to a Roman soldier. There'd be 3 or 4 hours on duty, and then then there'd be another soldier coming in. And Paul writes this, "I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has been having the opposite effect than that it was intended. It was intended to shut the guy up, but it didn't work." Now, there's a surprise. "Instead of being squelched, the message has actually prospered. All the soldiers here, and everyone else too, found out that I'm in jail because of the Messiah. That created a curiosity in them, and now they've learned all about me." So they're stuck to him. And so what are they going to talk about for 3 or 4 hours? There's no TV, there's no phones. So Paul says, guess what? I was the worst of sinners. My life was awful. I was completely against God. But you know what? He's changed my life. And soldier, he can change yours too. And so the conversation goes on. And it's evident that a number of these soldiers came to faith in Jesus, because he ends that particular letter by saying, particularly the people of the Roman soldiers send forward their greetings. So the Roman court was sending their greetings back to this church, because Paul had been telling them about Jesus. Because they become followers. Their curiosity developed and they said, Jesus, I want you in my life. I believe what you've done. I believe that you died on the cross, you rose again, and you're alive today, and you want us all to follow you. That's amazing. And that all happened, even in the worst of situations. And sometimes we're in situations that are so difficult and so complicated. And sometimes we have one bit of bad news and we can handle that. And then you have another piece of bad news and we're just about handling that. And then there's a third thing. And you go, what's going on? My life is terrible. And we look down. And we stay down too long. Paul says, wait a minute. Got to look up. God's going to do something with this. He can turn the thing around. He's got plans and purposes for you, even though you're stuck. You might be lying down on the sofa because you're not well. But your perspective can be changed. The prism can be changed. Because God's at work. And amazing things can happen. And just think, if that hadn't happened to that pioneer, that church planter, who couldn't move around anymore. He had to stop. So instead he starts writing letters. And we've still got those letters today. And he's blessed millions of people through those letters, through the work of the Holy Spirit, generation after generation after generation. God's got a plan. Got to look up. God's got a plan with your life. Whether you're 5 years old or 105, doesn't matter. Got a plan with it. And it's a good plan. And it's a blessed plan. And there's blessings going on all around us. But we need to look up. We need to see God and give him all the praise and the glory. I'm going to come down now because we're moving towards Holy Communion. But before we do that, we're going to do a prayer, which takes us into this time of looking up and remembering and reflecting on who Jesus is, what he's done in the past, what he's doing now, and what he's going to do in the future. But we need to look up. So our prayer as entrance into communion. I'm going to invite you in this prayer to look down. So let's start off by looking down at the floor. And you'll notice the floor is quite clean, actually. But often this floor is dirty, isn't it? And grubby, and there's stones around it, and it's messy. And even on this really clean floor, you maybe wouldn't want to have your fish and chips. It's dirty, it's scuffed up. Now I invite you to look up, and for a few moments, focus on God. Focus on Jesus. The one who died on a cross, rose again, and is alive today. I wonder what's special about God for you today? I've given you some hints and ideas, but there's lots. There's enormous numbers, actually. What's special about God for you today? I want you to think about it. What's special about God for you, and you, and you, and you. In a few moments, I'm going to invite you to say that word or small grouping of words aloud, together, at the same time. 3, 2, 1, faithfulness. Okay, that was super pathetic. Let's try again. There's a word in your mind. Let's say it out loud. It's not very English, but let's give it a go. 1, 2, 3. Faithfulness. Psalm 40 verse 16 declares, the Lord is great. And as we come to take the elements of Holy Communion, we remember that the Lord is great. And we are to look up and to praise him. We look to the cross. We look to the tomb rolled away. We look to the risen Christ. and we say thank you. This has been our theme for today. We've looked at the Old Testament and Elijah. We looked at the New Testament of Paul. We played a game. We've seen glasses. We've done prayers, all reflecting that whatever our situation or journey of life at this time, we are to look up and remember who God is. Let's just say it one more time. Look up and remember who God is. May you be blessed this week as you do just that.